The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank God it's Friday. Dominic, how you doing, my little buddy?
Oh, man, happy Friday to you. Rich working hard on the board. Our fair audience, thank you for joining us. It's Friday. We air the grievances, and Trudy, I have a grievance.
Don't you always?
You sold my email to Scott Walker, who then sold it to Donald Trump.
Yes.
And now I get Donald Trump Make America Great 2024 Again emails. And this one is hawking a T-shirt with Donald Trump wearing a crown, and it says the notorious DJT. The email says to me, when you come for the king, you better not miss. Democrats will have to learn the hard way. I'm not going anywhere. They thought witch hunts and sham trials were enough to take me down. And what a better way to drive home their failure than with my limited edition notorious DJT T-shirt. Order yours while supplies last.
What's your gripe? I got the same email.
I just sent it to you. Oh, do you have it? You have it apart from my forward?
I believe I do. I believe I've got it twice now. I'm on. If you're on the email list, I'm on the email list.
You can unsubscribe. Don't check the box. Don't do anything. You never know what's going to happen. They'll bill you monthly.
Just give them your credit card. Trust them.
Trust, it's totally fine.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We trust that you will join us today and air the grievances, 844-967-2789. We got a fine guest joining us at the end of the show, Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman from the great state of Illinois, and he became something of an anti-never-Trumper. Hell, he ran for the Republican nomination, ran for president against Donald J. Trump. Talking about death threats. I bet you Joe's had a few.
Yeah, maybe.
Hell, you can go on Fox News and get a couple of death threats, Tom. I know that from personal experience.
Yeah, you got death threats? Come on, man. I don't remember you getting death threats.
Harm threats.
Harm threats.
I don't think anyone specifically threatened to end my life just do bad things to me.
Like beat you up? Break your knees? Was there any specificity or just?
Well, I thought it was very impressive that people did enough Google searching to look me up and find me and then find a way to contact me on my cell phone. Some emailed their threats. I thought that was a little less logical because, you know, you're leaving a print there. The digital footprint, that was part of what they talked about in the Trump trial, the voter deception trial in New York City today. Less salacious. Less talk of raw dogging porn stars today, and more talk about metadata as they set the stage for the testimony of the fixer, Michael Cohen, coming next week, Monday, Dom.
I did see the AP was reporting that the prosecutors are likely to call just two more witnesses in Trump's hush money case. So obviously Cohen. Who's the other one, you think?
Melania. Would that be a surprise? No one would see that one coming.
No. Man, you don't have to testify against your husband. I want to.
You know, we do have some sound of Trump. The trial knocked off a little bit early this afternoon. You know, didn't want to start feeding the people too much Cohen before the weekend. But let's play the reaction of Donald J. Trump. And I have not heard this yet, Dom. I purposefully, I didn't want to spoil my appetite for the broccoli, so I held off. And now I'm going to hear it along with you in real time. Donald J. Trump complaining, as he often does. Here's his Friday grievances, I suspect. Play cut one.
Certain people, anything's even mentioned, he wants to put me in jail. And that could happen one day, and I'd be very proud to go to jail for our Constitution.
That's not why you'd be going to jail, though. You'd be going to jail on contempt charges because you couldn't keep your pie hole shut.
I mean, that's what you say. I say I'm going to jail for the Constitution.
Going to jail for justice, is he?
For justice. For all you people out there, all you megas, I'm doing it for you. Now give me your money. A couple more from the Trump story. Let's see your cut number four, please.
If it was going to be brought, it should have been brought 7 years ago. And, you know, we're talking about 2016. We're talking about something that goes back a charge of 2006. Think of it. We're talking about 2016. We're talking about a charge that's 18 or 19 years old.
I mean, I did
fake.
It.
The whole case is fake. The judge is corrupt.
I did it, but it was so long ago. This shouldn't even count.
Of course, what he fails to mention is his own Attorney General, Bill Barr, made sure that the Department of Justice, the Southern District of New York, did not proceed with this investigation. That was the original catch and kill. Why didn't it drop 7 years ago? Because you, Mr. Trump, made sure it didn't through the appointment of Bill Barr.
Oh, he didn't mention that part? He's just leaving that little part off?
Okay. Well, and I love how they always pretend like they let Hillary off the hook after years of lock her up. That is such a falsity. The first thing they tried to do was find a chargeable offense against Hillary Clinton. And Bill Barr, I mean, you can be corrupt, but if there's no evidence of a crime, even Bill Barr couldn't find a rationale to charge Hillary. But they wanted to, and when you hear Donald Trump saying, "Oh, you know, I let my predecessor off the hook," okay, Obama's never been accused credibly of anything other than wearing a tan suit past Labor Day.
Oh my God!
The real crime.
That you know, and if you notice, Crudy, ever since Obama wore that tan suit, our country has been on decline. Ever since then.
Well, especially since 2016.
All right.
A little bump for the better recently, though.
Yeah, it's not been too bad. Well, high milk prices, though. A couple more from
the
former
guy
outside. You should, man. Milk's great. Not even in a
white Russian. In its cheese form.
You don't drink cheese. Well, you can, I guess. So liquid cheese.
Well, I like to melt it and liquid drink it. But I don't drink milk. I'm not a fan of the dairy.
You're from Wisconsin, man? Come on.
I eat cheese, man. If I'm going to say I eat cheese one more time, I will eat the snot out of some cheese.
That's not all dairy, man. It's just a little bit. What about you, like yogurt?
Oh, I do yogurt.
Oh, okay. So yogurt. Butter. Consider butter. Is butter dairy to you? Butter's dairy, right?
It goes good on a muffin.
Oh, yeah. Some
pancakes. Real butter, yeah. Not that margarine stuff. Don't give me those.
No, the real
poly
stuff. Come on, this is Wisconsin, baby.
Soy stuff.
All right, a couple more. Let's hear Cohen. Now, my understanding, the judge today, prior to wrapping up the day, told the prosecutors, hey, you got to button up Cohen. We don't want him talking before he comes to testify. And I thought to myself, well, I mean, I get it. Maybe because the jury isn't going to hear what Cohen trash talks outside of the courtroom, right? Because they're not supposed to be listening to any news media. They're supposed to shut all that stuff out. So what, Donald Trump? Is mad that Cohen can say stuff about him, but he can't say stuff about Donald Trump.
But they have a different relationship with the court. He's the defendant. Right. Michael Cohen is private citizen Michael Cohen. He's paid his debt to society. He might be under subpoena, but how the hell do you put a gag order on the witnesses at this late hour?
And even so, it's accepted. Okay, Judge. But the precedent has been set. Far as I know, Cohen has... 10 times he can violate the gag order at $1,000 a piece before anything else would happen to him. So if I were Cohen, I would ignore it just like Trump. And let's see if there's really, you know, equal justice in this land. One more from the former guy. I mean, two more. We didn't play the one. Let's do. Did we do cut five yet? Let's do that.
There is no gag order to Michael Cohen. What the judge did was amazing, actually. It was amazing. Everybody can say whatever they want. They can say whatever they want, but I'm not allowed to say anything about anybody.
Now, I'm not clear that's entirely the case. We have a Hill piece. We'll get to that in a moment. Last cut from Trump regarding Biden and the inflation.
We had essentially almost no inflation, but we had 9% inflation, and that's a fake number because not everything was included with Biden. And if you add it all up, I think it's a 50% inflation tax. I call it the Biden inflation tax.
Is that so what you call
lies, it? He lies about everything, including his golf game, because he can't hit a ball.
What? I mean, here is a case of projection. Rick Riley, a sports writer for Sports Illustrated. I did not know he was going to say that. But to accuse the other guy, to accuse, you didn't spoil it, Rich, to accuse the other guy of being a cheater in the sport of golf. This is the guy that claimed recently he won both the club championship and the senior club championship this year at Mar-a-Lago. Well, you own the joint. And unless they're selling mulligans, I'm pretty sure you're a big cheater. Guy wrote a book about it. Rick Riley literally wrote, I forget if it was a whole book or just a chapter in one of his books, about Donald Trump is the worst golf cheat of all time. And a big projector, obviously, Dom. I don't even think Joe Biden is a golfer.
Golf is such an easy game.
Golf is not an easy game. It's easier if you cheat at it. I didn't like that one. I'm going to hit another one.
What are rules? 844-967-2789. I want to get to that Hill piece regarding this gag order. Let's get at least one caller in here. Mark, you'll be up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us? Give you like 60 seconds.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, it's remarkable that Trump complains about the golf game lying that because the guy did not win that golf game, those tournaments.
You don't know that. Improve your life, former President Trump. What are rules?
I say that with as much conviction as Trump says everything that he says. I mean, that if I have to stick to the same level of honesty that Trump does, I mean, I can say whatever I want about Mr. Trump. And Mr. Trump, every day he attacks violates the gag rule, if not in actually in spirit. I mean, attacking the judge, attacking the people in the court, I mean, that's just, I don't know, it's just disgusting.
Mark.
Well, if you say it with conviction, Mark, it must be true.
Trump tweeted, or Truthy socialed, 14 times over the lunch hour he broke the gag order, I suspect. More devil's advocates. We'll tell you all about it.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Devil's Advocates, the radio show. Happy Friday, airing of the grievances. You can join us anytime, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, you sent me an article. You don't think I already have the Rick Riley article? I have a differing source, The Guardian. And there is some breaking news, and I think we will talk about this. The Biden administration, according to the New York Times, concluded it is reasonable to assess, Dom, that Israel's military campaign in Gaza has violated international law. Well, that's ratcheting up the rhetoric a bit. Violating international law.
The Chiron on CNN right now says, yes, reasonable to assess Israel used American weapons in Gaza in ways inconsistent, quote unquote, with international law. Inconsistent with international law.
And we'll get to the phones in just a minute. Your grievances here, but let me talk about golf for just a minute. Rick Riley was with Sports Illustrated for years, and the headline, he actually wrote a whole book about Donald Trump, the golf cheat, and Donald Trump said, and we played the sound outside of court today, he accuses Joe Biden of cheating in golf. I mean, this is what you're famous for. This and, you know, bankrupting a lot of casinos and stuff. But cheating in golf's right up there at the top.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you.
Raping, cheating in golf, cheating on his taxes, cheating on his wife.
overthrowing the government.
Oh,
let's get that one out there as well. That's the big one.
Donald Trump is the worst cheat ever, and he doesn't care who knows, according to Rick Riley. I always say golf is the bicycle shorts. It reveals a lot about a man, and golf reveals a lot of ugliness in this president. Riley, the former Sports Illustrated columnist, has written a book called Commander in Cheat, How Golf Explains Trump. It's rattling good fun, which also depicts the startling duplicity of the president as a golfer. Again, a quote from Riley. You're mostly laughing, but at times you're crying. How did this happen? As a golfer, he really offends me. Cheating? Hate that. Driving carts on the green? Hate that. Wearing old Dockers, two sizes too small for him. Give me a break. Kicking your ball so often the caddies call you Pele. I so hate that. Most of all, I hate how stupid he's making our country look. I hate what he's doing to my planet. I hate what he's doing to kids at the border. I don't mind Republicans. I just can't stand this guy. I love golf, and he has set the game back 30 years. Just when it was becoming cool with Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler, we get the fat bozo cheating his ass off. Now, Dr. Lance Dotes, a Harvard psychiatrist, tells Riley that Trump is a very ill man who exhibits all the trait of a narcissist personality disorder. Riley sighs. It's terrible he should cheat at golf, which is the one sport where we self-regulate. There are referees in every other sport but golf. If you're 200 yards away, you can kick the ball and get away with it. I called the National Golf Foundation. They said 90% of golfers don't cheat. Golf is an honest game. But this guy leaves a big, ugly orange stain on it. And as Rick Riley concludes here, it really pisses me off. They've known each other for like 30 years, Tom.
Riley says this as well. One time in L.A., he was playing $50 a hole with these three guys. He hits it in the pond. They see the splash. By the time they get there, the ball's in the middle of the fairway. They're like, what the F, Donald? And he goes, it must have been the tide. I mean, come on. In a statement shared, my source was People magazine. The campaign spokesman says, Rick fantasizes about having a golf game as good as President Trump. But instead of putting in the hard work to improve his, call it, crappy game, Rick allows his severe case of Trump derangement syndrome to completely take over his life. He should seek urgent medical care before it's too late.
Here's what Riley says. I liked him as a writer because he's a crazy fabulist who tells lies so big they can float in the Macy's parade. He's great copy. If he says, you could be here tomorrow for an interview, I'd be on the red eye. I would do anything to get that interview. But if I had to play golf with him again, and it wasn't for an article, I'll never do it. Should I read more, Dom?
Is there more? There's a little bit more cheating. Because again, Donald Trump projecting today outside of the courtroom, accusing Biden of having a terrible golf game and cheating. Let's play that one more time. I want to make sure I get the. You don't have it? Okay. All right.
He'll get ready for it. Let me give you a little more of Rick Riley's take on.
All right.
You know where Trump met Stormy Daniels?
At a golf outing
in Lake Tahoe. Here is how Riley describes where he met Trump. The first time I met him, we were playing in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in the late 1980s. He comes over and says, it's Rick Riley, the greatest sports writer in the world. There's always an angle with Trump. Marla Maples was his wife then, and he said, he's your biggest fan, look. She pulled one of my columns out of her purse. Like, this is a setup. He wanted me to write a column about him, but I had this idea of writing a book where I caddy for famous people. So we make a day for me to caddy for him, but I turn up and he didn't have anybody to play with. So I played him. That was the day he took the only gimme chip I've ever seen.
A gimme chip?
You don't get to take gimme chips. A chip is a gimme? Question mark. Trump's pretty good off the tee, but he chips like Edward Scissorhands. He'll cheat you on the course, and then he'll buy you lunch. Trump introduced Riley to other people after the game. He couldn't just call me a writer. He said, hey, Rick, he's the president of Sports Illustrated. He would introduce me to another guy. Hey, Rick, meet Luigi. Voted best hamburger chef in the world. Luigi's like, what? No, I wasn't. Trump wants to be a winner by pretending you're someone huge. His lies were hilarious until he becomes the most powerful man in the world. Then it got scary. I don't know what his plan is for my kids and grandkids. I don't know who's going to pay off his giant debt he's created to give his fat cat buddies a tax cut. Look what he did last week in London. This article from 2019. He pissed off two of our best allies. It's terrifying. And finally, he writes, Trump's deceit about the golfing achievements motivated Riley to resume writing. I was retired, living in Italy for 3 months a year, drinking wine. I kept seeing him on my Twitter feed. I'm a champion. You should vote for me because I won an 18-club championship. Whoa, that's a lie because you already told me how you did it. Whenever you open a new course, you play by yourself and you declare yourself the first club champion. I'm like, and I can't even say it here, that's a crappy lie. That's Donald Trump. Many of you love him. I don't know why. A man who cheats at golf cannot be trusted to run the country. More devils.
Oh! The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Friday happy hour. Until I heard the trash-talking former president of the United States accuse my guy, Joe Biden, of being a cheat at golf? Are you freaking kidding me? I would file a defamation suit, and I would use the evidence of Rick Riley's personal experiences and how the book he wrote. And we will get to you, callers. Be patient just a minute. 844-967-2789. Just one more quote, if you'll indulge me, Dom, from Rick Riley talking about Donald Trump. I offered Trump a $100,000 charity bet to play him. He has not responded. I'd bet my house I can beat him as long as there's a camera on both of us. But he's not going to play me. He's not going to testify to the impeachment hearing because he can't stop lying. And when you lie in front of Congress, you go to jail for perjury. As soon as he plays me in front of TV cameras, it would come out how bad he is. Now, Donald Trump claims he's a 2.9 handicap. Jack Nicklaus, the all-time leader of winning in golf, like won the most major tournaments in the history of golf. Nicklaus is a 3.5 handicap at this stage in his life. Trump claims he's better than Jack Nicklaus. According to Rick Riley, Trump has recorded like 20 golf scores in his adult life. Every time you golf, you know, to calculate your handicap, you register every round. So a handicap is actually how many typically, when you record all the rounds you play, you know, good days, bad days, weather, wind, all that stuff. You record it and that becomes your handicap. That's like your batting average in golf. A 3.5 handicap tends to play 3-4 strokes over par. So Trump's claiming he's within 3 strokes of par. But as Rick Riley points out, he's turned in like 20 scores in his life. Because all the bad rounds, he never turns them in. Because that's how you claim you're a 2.9 handicap. You garbage in, garbage out.
He buys a course, would play the first round by himself and proclaim himself champion. That's the same mindset.
Let me put a bow on Riley. Trump likes to denigrate his enemies as losers. And so on the final line of Rick Riley's book suggests that when the president looks at his reflection, he will see the face of a loser. Riley nods. That was on purpose. My dad always told us that if you cheat, then ultimately you're cheating yourself. I wanted that to be the last word in the book because he is a loser. He's the biggest loser I ever met. And he's talking about your golf game, Trump.
844-967-2789.
I used to take golf quite seriously, Dom. My mom, I'll tell you one story. My mom died many, many years ago. But my mom was a hell of a golfer. She played on the men's golf team in college. Played off the tips, the longer tees with the men. And she was competitive. I think she could have been an LPGA level golfer had that been a thing back in the early 1970s when you know, she gave up her golf game mostly for raising chitlins like me and my brother. But my mom was the best golfer I ever played with. And I can tell you what, man, it is a sign of character. A sign of character. Golf is the ultimate sign of character. And character is what you do when nobody's looking. And we all know what Donald Trump does when nobody's looking. He puts on some silk pajamas, grabs the Tic Tacs, and starts grabbing you know what.
You know, if character is what you do when nobody's looking, but then you do it in plain sight, but it's the same thing, well, how does that work out? I mean, if you cheat when no one's looking, then you cheat in plain sight of everybody, does that mean you have character because you're consistent? I don't think I like that line.
You confuse me, Dom. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Don't be a character like Dom.
Welcome hey, Joe, to the welcome. Show.
I'm always sort of confused. It's kind of permanent. So, hi, guys.
Hi,
Friday
Joe.
Afternoon.
I don't often find you to be confused. I find you to be very clarifying.
Well, let's take a stab at this then. I would like to talk about pornography for a little while, and particularly in regards to Christians. As I understand this Project 2025, big honking book, 900 pages. You know, they plan on jettisoning 50,000 government workers and putting their own people in. 100 organizations have already signed on with a lot of money, organizations like the Heritage Foundation. And I did not realize that part of the Project 2025 is to, one of the things they want to do is to criminalize pornography. Now, I think this is just hysterical because what they want to do is criminalize porn creators and distributors. Wouldn't that be Stormy? And I think part of what with Stormy was that she made it quite clear, we don't fake it. You know, we're really doing it. You know, this truly is porn that you're watching. You know, this is not drape a towel gracefully. This is the real deal. And I just think with all the trouble.
Yeah, but Joel, I don't know if that guy was really there to fix the cable box. You know what I mean? I think that might be made up.
And who orders a pizza without enough money to tip the pizza guy?
I just think that, you know, this foray into criminalizing pornography, I'm curious to see how that will play out, particularly because as I understand, pornography is a huge business. I mean, a lot of money being made, a lot of money being paid for pornography. So how does that go when they start to criminalize porn creators and distributors? Stormy may be back again. That's all I can say. Stormy may return.
Joe, I like how you think, but I don't know if you've ever looked up the red states and their propensity for the porn consumption, but it's a lot more than the liberals. And here's what I would say. The difference is liberals get laid. 844-967-2789. We never talked about incels on our side, Dom. Jenny from Madison.
Wow.
Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, welcome, Jenny. What do you got for us today?
Hello?
Yes, Jenny.
Hello.
I'm sorry
Hello.
If we scared you off a little there. Welcome to the party.
Okay. When people call and indicate that they're voting for Trump and they have something against Biden, I would like to know, because I would like to have them pinned down as to what is wrong with Biden, because I can't see anything wrong with them, and I wonder what they have against them.
Well, they.
So I would like to. Yeah.
Jenny, I think they so often they don't have a reality. They don't have the same reality that we have. If they consume their news from right-wing talk radio, all that right-wing talk radio does is bash Joe Biden. And they don't have to have evidence. Let's not forget they're trying to impeach the guy, and they can't figure out why. But they tell their people, oh, there's a smoking gun around every corner, and we found the corruption, and we found the this, and we found the that. And Joe Biden's letting all these migrants in the United States, they're illegal aliens, they're coming to dilute your vote. This is their conspiracy theory that somehow white people are going to be deluded. And we hear the speaker of the House say it recently. This is being parroted by the political leadership and by right-wing talk radio and certainly on Fox News, Jenny. So that's what they're hearing. They're hearing and they're not discerning. They're not trying to find any alternative information that might prove someone's opinion to be false. You know, if all I ever read was great stuff about Joe Biden, I might seek broader sources. I like Joe Biden, right. But I don't think he's perfect. And if all I got was perfect, Joe Biden's perfect, 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 and everybody I knew had a Joe Biden flag in their yard, I would become a little skeptical. Like, we're not getting the whole story about Joe Biden. Well, for whatever reason, and I think it's cognitive dissonance, I don't think they're accepting anything but positive news about their cult leader, Jenny.
Well, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny, for listening. And, you know, again, I've tried to not broad brush these people, because I was just at a Trump rally about a week ago on Wednesday, and I talked to dozens of Trump supportive people. And you can say, oh, they're dumb, they're stupid. No, not on first blush. I mean, some were educated people. Some clearly were professionals. They spoke with articulation. I don't even always do that, Don. You know what I mean? They knew big words. They had expansive vocabularies, the things that one often judges someone on first blush. Well, you know, they've got a vocabulary. They know how to use the words. They're aware of the issues of the day. But then you dig down to their politics, and you're like, oh, my God. But you're living in this different silo of reality than the rest of us. If all you do is consume information that reinforces what you already believe, well, why would you ever change your mind?
Well, you never would if you're not curious. Another thing, not just the migrants, to Jenny's point, Trump had this to say. This is what an article from NBC News back on what December of 2023. Here's Trump's quote regarding immigration. I think the real number, 15, 16 million people into our country. When they do that, we've got a lot of work to do. They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done. They poison mental institutions and prisons all over the world, not just in South America, not just three or four countries that we think about, but all over the world. They're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world. NBC reports Trump repeated the use of poisoning in a post on his social media site, saying in all caps that illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. They're coming from prisons, from mental institutions, from all over the world. Of course, the term blood poisoning was used by Hitler in his manifesto. Quote, all great cultures of the past perished only because the originally creative race died out from blood poisoning. That's what their dear leader had to say, what, 6 months ago?
Well, Speaker Mike Johnson said effectively yesterday, of course there are illegals voting. I feel it. I just don't have any evidence. And that's so often how people's minds are made up. They get this feeling because they've been fed whatever Fox News' latest narrative is. There's a migrant caravan heading to the United States, and they're all coming because of Joe Biden's open border policies, and they're going to rape your wife, take your job, and what? Break Social Security.
Speaker Johnson said this. We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number.
My 17-year-old, we were talking a little politics. My 17-year-old said, what would be the upside for the illegals? Why would they do that? It seems like a and the kid's going to be a business major in college. I'm quite proud of him. He said, what would be the return on that investment? Why would someone create a felony that could get them deported for the right to cast a singular vote in a country where they're not even a citizen? What, for Joe Biden's policies? I mean, the only people I have ever met that have committed voter fraud are Republicans. They're the only ones that somehow think, well, if I just vote for Trump five times, then he'll win for sure. I'll offset those 3 million illegals that are criminalizing themselves to cast a vote in a foreign country.
Of course, it's already illegal to do so, but yes, that's their point. They're gonna give up the opportunity. Many of them working, you know, supporting their family here or sending money back home. Many of them employed by, like, here in the state of Wisconsin, the dairy industry. Lots of conservatives in the dairy industry. Why would they risk that? And it's already illegal. They're not here properly. They're gonna go out there and stick their neck out for Joe Biden to do what?
If I didn't have a legal immigration status, I wouldn't go to the store. I wouldn't go to Quick Trip. I'd use Drive-In. I'd be ordering food off Amazon. DoorDash. You know what I mean? I certainly wouldn't be drawing attention to myself and making myself a felon for the right to cast one vote. And Donald Trump had 75 million votes last time. Biden had 81 million. Even according to your math, Trump, you're still going to lose, man. Come back. More devil's advocates. I found the tweet that Stormy sent out quite interesting yesterday. Post-court, she tweeted at the man who's complaining about everybody else can say what they want about me. It's really bad. And I'm thinking, then go testify. That's the challenge Stormy leveled at him. Real men testify. Oh, never mind. Something of that effect. I paraphrase. Come back, more devils. Never paraphrase. We'll quote you directly on the phones. 844-96.
Devil's advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday, airing of the grievances. 844-967-2789.
Where are we going next, Tom?
I want to get this out, this Hill piece. Of course, Donald Trump lamenting the fact he's under a gag order and it's not fair and all these kinds of things. Well, actually, today in court, this came up. And according to The Hill, before the court proceedings wrapped up for the week, Todd Blanche, Trump's attorney, asked that Cohen be prohibited from talking in the same way President Trump is restricted. Mershon said from the bench, "I will direct the prosecution to communicate to Mr. Cohen that the judge is asking him to refrain from any more statements about this case." He told the prosecutors moments later, "That comes from the bench, and you are communicating that on behalf of the bench." The former president's ex-fixer previously said he would refrain from attacks on Trump, but defense attorney said Friday he posted a TikTok on Wednesday night wearing a T-shirt that showed Trump in an orange jumpsuit and behind bars. "It's becoming a problem every single day that President Trump is not allowed to respond to this witness, but this witness is allowed to continue to talk," Blanche said. Both Trump and Cohen have hurled insults at each other, but because Trump is barred from publicly remarking about the witness under the Trump's gag order, the former president has not been able to respond to recent attacks. "We have no control over what they do," prosecutor Joshua Steinglass told the judge. "We have repeatedly asked the witness not to do this." Not to do this. So it's a request from the bench? Not an official gag order? I guess I'm not clear. Did the judge is asking nicely, "Pretty please, Cohen, don't continue to do this?"
844-967-2789. Gary from Rapids. Why'd you drop off so quick, buddy? That's how we do it. We talk a little, and then we take your calls, and then we talk some more, and we take some calls. You could be first in the queue at 844-967-2789. Dom, wanted to get this thought out there. Trump might not go to jail, but this trial is a close second. In Mar-a-Lago, it isn't, according to Dana Milbank over at The Post. My friend and former colleague, Benjamin Witties, is the editor-in-chief for Lawfare, and he's provided indispensable legal analysis from Donald Trump's hush money trial. But his most important insight into the trial is the need for cushioning. When I arrived at the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse early Monday morning for a few days of Trump trial tourism, I found Witties in line holding not one, but two pillows, an orthopedic donut to sit on, and a padded wraparound lap desk. "If I didn't do the same," he warned, "you'll come away with injuries." He was vindicated within an hour of my arrival at the courthouse. The courthouse, completed in 1941, apparently has not been updated much since, nor even maintained. Its seats are hard, wooden pews with curved backs that accentuate the customary journalist slouch as we hunch over our laptops. Posters warning of asbestos abatement hang in the lobby. The bathrooms have malfunctioning taps, missing toilet paper holders, and what looks like years of grime on the floor. The courtrooms have almost no electrical power or internet connectivity, forcing those covering the Trump trial to lug backpacks full of enormous batteries, cables, and hotspots. Temperatures fluctuate madly, a source of much irritation to the defendant.
It's so cold.
The hallways are dark and green, and the fluorescent-lit courtrooms have names such as Part 59 and Part 75. The elevators groan and creak, and the 15th floor where the Trump trial is held, two of us had to manually push the elevator doors closed to get the carriage moving down to the lobby. As Milbank writes, Mar-a-Lago it isn't. This place, built on the site of a 19th century prison and gallows complex called the Tombs, may be as close as Trump gets to prison, and it's a reasonable facsimile. Attendees get colored hall passes that allow them to go to the restroom. Dozens of police guards bark orders, we're locking it down, and impose Byzantine rules. No eating in the rooms, no loitering in the halls, unless you're eating. Multiple layers of security make it difficult to re-enter the building, that reporters pack their lunches and eat on benches or any other space they can claim on unused floors of the building. Those wishing to attend the proceedings start lining up at 6 a.m. for a 9:30 a.m. trial in the middle of the media biovac of satellite trucks, stand-up platforms, and acres of police barriers. Those admitted to the courtroom, one reporter per outlet. That could be you, Dom. In the overflow room, where video and audio are piped in, can watch Trump rant in the hallway just steps away. Those in the pool to watch Trump's rants cannot watch the trial. So you're either confined to Trump ranting in the hallway or you're confined to the overflow room. Still, there are small pleasures on the TV screens in the overflow room. Right over the video feed of Trump at the defense table is a chyron displaying the words, New York County Supreme Criminal. I expected to spend much of my year covering Trump this way, watching his trials in New York, D.C., Georgia, and Florida. But suddenly, this trial, the least important of the floor, looks like it will be the only one underway before the election. I'm going to jump down here a little bit. Where was the important stuff? Well, perhaps we'll talk about it in the 5 o'clock Happy or Happy Hour. We do have a fine guest joining us. He is Joe Walsh, former Republican. But this sounds like a crap hole, Dom. This courthouse.
Courthouse.
I mean, it has to crush the soul just a little bit. To be there as a defendant, to be trapped in the courtroom, gagged, unable to complain about the lurid testimony of Stormy Daniels.
If Donald Trump was capable of feeling shame and regret, perhaps that would be a time where it would actually manifest itself. But of course, the narcissist that he is, he's unable to generate those kinds of thoughts and emotions.
Kind of reminds me of the roast of Tom Brady. You know, he's got to sit there and take it. But Brady didn't take all of it. Trump has to take every single word. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Hopefully you stick around for every single word. Just an hour left. A happier, happy hour indeed. Happy Friday. We'll be right back. Lordy mama, bye-bye.